Now we're ready to begin the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. It would seem after the terrible things that were predicted in the 29th chapter, the terrible curses that were going to come upon the people, that this would be the end of the Jewish nation. There'd just be no hope, no promise, no way that they could ever continue to exist. But we find in this 30th chapter of Deuteronomy that God now extends His great mercy and blessings, so that the mercy of God will overcome the curse if we will but repent. And to begin this chapter, he talks about repentance, the things that are necessary to bring repentance about, and the ingredients of repentance. In the first verse of Deuteronomy 30, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Now let's pause and notice here. The first element of repentance is that you have to do some consideration. You have to call some things to mind. You have to remember what has happened and why it has happened. We're talking about the blessing and the curse. That after they have had this blessing and curse come upon them, they had the blessing to begin with, and they dwelt for several hundred years in the land of Canaan. Then they had the curse, the captivity, and so now they're in a position to recall this blessing and curse, to call them to mind while they're out there in captivity among all the nations where the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And this is the first step toward repentance. We have to do some considering. We have to think about what has happened to us, why it has happened. We have to realize that God is the one who is the driving force behind all of these things. And this then is the first step toward turning to God. We start thinking about God and thinking about what God has done. We have to consider some things. And this principle is taught other places in the Bible. In Isaiah 46 verse 8, in talking about this same subject, Isaiah says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors." They were to remember what had been said about idolatry. They were to remember the fact that God had promised them punishment if they disobeyed Him. And so this is taught in Isaiah, to remember, bring again to mind. Think about the things that God has said and the things that God has done. Again, in Luke, the 15th chapter, in the story of the prodigal son. After the prodigal son had left and squandered all of his riches, and he'd gotten to the very point that he was just down and out and having to take care of the swine. Luke 15:17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." He came to himself. He had a realization of what had happened. He began to consider what had happened. He started thinking of his situation in relation to him and his father. Now the thing that they're considering here is the blessing and the curse. How that God has blessed them on the one hand for being obedient, and He cursed them on the other hand for being disobedient. And this principle is also taught in the book of Romans. In Romans 11, verse 22, Paul is talking about the fact that the Jews have been taken away, the natural branches have been broken off, and the wild olive branches were grafted in their place. And so in the 22nd verse of Romans 11, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off." So two things, the goodness and the severity of God. This is the way God deals with us. He deals with us either with goodness or with severity. And once we can realize whether we're receiving severity because of disobedience or goodness because of our obedience, then we're in a position to know which way to go. We're in a position to know how to serve God. And so the first step toward repentance then is to call to mind some things. Call to mind what God has done. Call to mind the blessing and the curse. Call to mind the goodness and the severity of God. As the prodigal son did, "Come to thyself, or come to himself, realize what has happened. Now, in the second verse, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God. Now we see here then what the second step of repentance is. The first step is to call to mind the things that have happened. The second step is to return, to actually be converted, to actually make a turn in your life, to make a change. It's not enough just to think, oh, I love God, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that, and just keep thinking it, but we have to actually perform the doing of it. Return unto the Lord thy God. And this is probably the most important step that we can ever take in our lives. Not enough just to consider, but we have to, as a result of that consideration, then bring about some true action in our lives, and that action is to return. And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God. And then this returning also includes the idea of obedience, and shall obey his voice. Now, the returning is an obedience. Thou shalt return to the Lord thy God and shall obey his voice. Now, as we think about obedience, then he explains several features of obedience. First of all, we're to obey his voice. That is, it is his voice. It is the word of God that we obey. Not something else, not some good feeling within us, not some commandment or tradition of men, not the way that the world wants us to go, but we obey his voice. We get back to the Bible, back to the very basic things that God has said. Obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. Now, that means that we have to obey all of his commandments. We can't just pick a few and decide that we'll leave some out and add some in. He wants us to obey all of his commandments. And as James says, if we do the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. We're a transgressor. We don't want to do that. We want to obey all that he's commanded. So obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children. Now, these things are to be taught to our children, are to be taught to our families, are to be passed on from one generation to another. That's the way God intends for it to be, thou and thy children. And then the third thing about how to return is to do it with all thine heart and all thy soul. It is to completely take us in. It is to be all of us, all of our heart and all of our soul. Not just to hold back and have a part of us obey God, not hang on with one hand to worldly pleasures and worldly activities and the other hand try to hold on to God. That's just giving God a part of things. But we're to go all our heart, all our soul. That is our total being, our mind and our body. Our total being is to be given to God. As he says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we're to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So it's our body and our mind. We're transformed. We're not conformed to this world, but our body is a living sacrifice.